What up, everybody? This is Mega Ran, and you are tuned in to Random Encounters. Today is the second part of my chat with Kenny Omega. This time, we kept it pretty light. I mostly get into wrestling talk, but we do talk a lot about how Winnipeg and Kenny's unorthodox upbringing really helped him to be a great, and how much of that is a big part of his legacy that he is leaving and currently walking in. So, hope you guys have been checking out Fyter Fest this week and last week on TNT. And you might have heard some familiar music in there, because your boy is doing the theme. That's right, Fighters, featuring myself, is playing at the end of this week's episode. So, if you haven't heard it yet, just stay tuned to the interview and you'll hear it there. Also, as always, I do weekly events called Random House Studios. You can get information on those at megaran.com/shows. Also, thank you again. Big shouts to Kenny for coming on and talking to us. And if you got any questions or any suggested guests, I don't know, hit me with a tweet at megaran, hashtag it random encounters. Let us know what you think of the episode. All right, here's Kenny. Peace.
Talk about growing up in Winnipeg. What was that like?
It helped that I had things that I could aspire to become. And, you know, I had my success story in Chris Jericho, you know, we had Don Callis, another guy, you know, Cyrus the Virus. I'm not sure. Yeah. You know, as I kind of grew older, I was like, wait a minute, what, Roddy Piper was from here too. So we had that. So it's like, there was sort of a silver lining. I was like, even though there's no one here at this moment, I do know that people have escaped these borders, the perimeter of this town, and I do know that they've made something of themselves. So I know it's not impossible, even though at that point, you know, of course the promotions were different, the promoters were different. Just the whole everything about the entire world of wrestling was different. But if someone had the ability to, and especially, you know, again, like Chris Jericho, he was kind of wrestling a style that I really wanted to wrestle. So he was a smaller dude. Yeah, at least back then when he was like Lionheart, Chris Jericho. You know, he was considered a junior. He was shorter. And he was mixing in a little bit of high flying with some of the, you know, the technical aspects of professional wrestling. That's kind of like the sort of the mix of athlete I wanted to be in the ring. So it was it helped to have someone that was from where I was from in the style that I wanted to pursue be from Winnipeg. So that was a big help, just to always have something, no matter how tough things were. It was good to have those success stories to know that, okay, someone did it and I feel like I can do it. So let's not give up. And I guess I can be stubborn and I don't have too many hobbies. So it's not like at that point, if I had given up on wrestling, so what would I do? I'm good at school. My scholastics are fantastic. You know, I get good grades in school, but I don't enjoy it at all. I was really good at hockey. I was super good at ice hockey. I had scholarship opportunities and all that stuff. But I never enjoyed, as the level of play got higher and higher, it became more of a business. And I didn't like hockey too much to begin with. So add in that business aspect to it. Like now I really hate it. And then I didn't like school. So to go to school with a scholarship with none of my friends to play hockey, I was like, no, I can't do that. That's like three terrible things mixed together. it's going to be like a miserable 5 years. So I thought it's at that point, it was like almost like wrestling or nothing. Because at that point, as you probably know, there was no streaming for a living. You know, there were very few video game opportunities. That was still where, you know, if you weren't working for Konami, Squaresoft, or Capcom in Japan, you know, you weren't in the mix of sort of, like, there was no even Western breakthrough in sort of video game design. There were no Grand Theft Autos. There were no Skyrim. So, you know, a lot of the best IPs were still coming right out of Japan. So it was like, for me, it was either wrestling or nothing. I had to make it work. And again.
And you did.
I would say the few things that really helped were that we lucked out where we had an NWA convention that was held in Winnipeg. One of the guys that was promoting locally, he was on the board of directors or whatever. And I guess every year the event, the NWA anniversary event, is held in the home of one of the board of directors. So it was Winnipeg's turn when I was kind of ready to make the next step. That was just luck.
Mm-hmm.
Don Callis would pop in every now and then in between his ECW stuff at the time, and he would run a show. And he kind of recognized that maybe I had something. So being on his shows where he would kind of throw me a bone or two on his shows where I could mix it up with guys that were better than I was, that helped a lot. I had a local promoter who's still running to this day. His name is Andrew Shellcross, and he runs a promotion called PCW. Mm-hmm. Him just running, just because he had guys like me who were hungry and guys that just loved wrestling, even though he wasn't turning a profit or anything, he was just running so that we could have a place to work. You know, that was an incredible asset for me to have, because we had no training center otherwise. It was, you'd show up to the shows super early and work out there, because we had no actual building. You know, there was no performance center or dojo or anything like that. We had to just show up before shows. And, you know, if the show started at 9:30 or 10 p.m., we were there at like 4 or 5 p.m., training for like 4 or 5 hours. And then we would do the show, and the show would end at like 2 a.m. And yeah, it was that kind of life.
Wow.
And then it was just having, kind of stewing, and then sort of hop all over the place. But then I had access to, you know, my trainer locally, who just had the most incredible video library that I've ever seen of anybody to this day, of all kinds of professional wrestling, whether it be stuff from America, Canada, England, Mexico, Japan. And every Friday we would go there, and he would do this with his trainees and just friends, where we would watch tapes from 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 a.m. the next day. And that was just knowledge that you, no matter who your trainer was, there was no way to cover that much worldly professional wrestling without, and that's the important part too, is to watch the wrestling from around the world, to have an understanding of how things may be different in another country or another place from what you do. And that doesn't make it any better, or it doesn't make it wrong, but it's a way to do it. And you watch the people, how the fans there, how they react. And I guess that's sort of how I sort of developed the backbone and the idea that there is no one right way, and maybe the best way is just to mix them all and kind of create a style that works best for you, your body type, the way that you know how to move, your athletic capabilities, what naturally fits for you and what you can learn. And so my training and my development was very odd, and it was just, but again, it was much like, you know, talking about the Corona era that we have now. You have to be resourceful with what you have available to you.
Oh, absolutely.
And, and I was able to make something good out of a, you know, an otherwise not a good scenario. And I think I may have even made that better for me by not having a trainer who taught me in one way of professional wrestling and taught me that this is the way I'm going to teach you and this is the way you do it. To have a trainer who is still an active wrestler and who is very open-minded to the styles from around the world, and then we would learn a lot of stuff via videotape, I think that really helped me keep an open mind to everything. And I guess even as humans, you know, it's always best to keep an open mind to everything that's going on around the world and not always be stuck in your ways, and be open to the possibility that whatever environment it is that you grew up in, not everything that you have available to you is the best for you or the best or just the best in general. You know, the world is a humongous place, and there are so many walks of life, and it's just up to us, I think, to be the best we can be, whether I'm talking about profession or as a human, and just take what it is all around you that can in that journey to cause you to become the best version of whatever that is. And,
absolutely.
You know, in the end of the day, you know, I was taking things I learned from Canadians, from Americans, from Mexicans, from Englishmen, you know, from Japanese people. And it wasn't any one style. I could never call myself, you know, I wrestle like this guy, or I'm Japanese strong style. Like, there was no label to it, because I would just take things that I liked from everything that I had seen throughout my travels and from videotape around the world. I guess that also helped just keep an open mind creatively as well, for when I was piecing things together for matches or what have you. Anyway, long nice. Answer. Sorry about that. Yeah.
No, it's a great answer. I think it's a lot of what makes you so special and influential is that your upbringing, your story. And I think that's such an awesome thing to live by, to take all the things that the world gives you, you know, wrap them up, apply them to yourself in any way possible, and become a hybrid of all those things. And I think that's what you've done. I think that could be like your legacy or your gift to the world. You know, it's such great advice and application. So I won't give you any more heavy questions. Let's just go strictly easy ones here. For here on out, these are my gaming questions. What is the game you spent the most amount of hours on in your existence?
Ooh, man. Now, this is probably not going to be a very good answer. And the reason is because, yes, I've spent a lot of hours in Apex as a BR, but it's like, were those quality hours? Is this one of those things where this time kind of goes by? And if I were to compile a list of games that I would consider the greatest works of all time, you know, it wouldn't be on that list, but it is time consuming to keep grinding out the BR life and hoping that you get a victory, you know, being addicted to winning a match.
That's
so
true.
Yeah,
many of those nights staying up late, like, all right, we got to get a W. We got to keep playing.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that also became a game where, you know, I would have my business meetings. You know, let's squad up. Let's talk while we play. So it kind of became a jack-of-all-trades game. But,
rephrase the question then. What's the game you spent the most quality hours in?
Quality hours. Thinking of it that way, I think it was probably by a little, maybe Skyrim. Okay. I did everything in that game. We're talking, I think I had, it was 400 to 600 hours, I think, in that game. Yeah, it was quite a bit. And again, where would that game fall in my list of all-time greats? I don't know. Maybe top 50, maybe higher. But some things are just time-consuming, man. We have these humongous worlds. And I actually, now that I'm so old and on the run and such, man, I really prefer the way that kind of games used to be. And I don't want this huge 100-hour plus story if I can help it. I want something to be, you know, mission-based, episodic. I don't care. I don't care if it's linear. It can be open, but linear stuff, man, I actually don't mind it at all.
I was just saying that too. I think in my older age, or just we have things to do. So
yeah.
It's like, I don't have time to plunk 400 hours into a game. So give me, I don't know, give me half of it now or whatever you got to do to keep it, you know, just short and sweet and linear, even.
Yeah. Like this year has been great for video game releases, because you know, we got the Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is unbelievable. I think it's, I genuinely think it's one of the greatest games ever made.
It's beautiful. It is.
Yeah, and, you know, again, one of the biggest surprises of last year was the announcement of remaking and releasing Resident Evil 3 so soon. And that was, again, and I heard the major criticism out of the gate from people that had the advanced copies, like, well, it's just a little too short. I was like, what? It's short. And they're like, yeah, you can finish in like 7 hours. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Perfect.
You know, like, thank God. I love this. So, and it was just a nonstop thrill ride. Like, there was no lag time. There wasn't any padding or wasn't any, like, there was no fat to trim. It was just, what was in the game was quality. And I enjoyed it a lot. But now I'm finding the one thing that I'm looking forward to most in kind of today's video game climate are the releases of the mini systems. So even though we have these awesome games like that, one of the things that I was most excited for, and I'm super happy they released it, was the mini TurboGrafx 16.
Yeah.
So for me to have that, that's like, I mean, I loved having the mini Sega Genesis, or Sega Genesis Mini last year, TurboGrafx this year. Like, I probably, I don't know if we had this talk before, but I played a lot of, you know, older systems, but one that I've yet to ever play has been a Sega Saturn. So I really hope I really hope they have, for whatever reason, they release a Sega Saturn Mini eventually. Cause I would
think, they got to do a Saturn. It's such a, like, slept on console with a lot
of. It really is.
Really good games.
One thing that I do almost every night is just when I'm kind of winding down is I just watch all of these retro game channels on YouTube and stuff, just talk about whatever, you know, what games are forgotten or what games you should play from this video game console's library. And Saturn's got a lot, man. They've got some really good games that I never got to play or experience.
I stream, and so on Thursdays I'll do a throwback stream and find a game that, like, I just completely missed out on, and I'll play. So this past week I played Mega Man and Bass, which I had never played before.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
On Game Boy Advance, and I think it was also on PlayStation something. I think it was in Japan on the Super Famicom.
I was going to say, it's in Super Famicom in Japan, yeah.
Yeah. So what is a really popular game that everybody loves that you are just not into? You can't get into it. You don't like it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the one that comes to mind right away is Grand Theft Auto. Especially the newer ones. I absolutely loved it up until Vice City. Vice City was my last really enjoyed Grand Theft Auto. And for whatever reason, from then on in, I just felt like it got too... It just became too huge. Like, it became too. I just felt that there's no direction. Like, doing everything else aside from the main missions became the focus. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I understand how that can be fun, and the way that you know, the time and effort that Rockstar put into their engine and their world. Of course, I mean, it's incredible, but I just didn't like it anymore. I remember I played five. Like, it would have been five. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 5. I was super excited for it. And I played it for a week, and I was forcing myself to play it after day two. I was like, I'm playing this now because everyone tells me how great it is, and it's not enjoyable for me.
No.
And yet, though, like, I loved the Mafia games. I loved... True Crime was another one I really liked, which is kind of like in the GTA vein.
Yeah.
Sleeping Dogs, you know, the Yakuza games. Of course, doesn't have really a driving aspect to it, but you know, kind of open worldish, but, like, you know, crime story.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I did not like what it was going for. It was just, I guess, it was just too open.
Yeah, I can see that. It gets a little intimidating, especially 5. It's huge.
Yeah.
So here's a game that got me like that, and I feel the same way about, is Red Dead Redemption. I just can't get into
the new one.
Oh,
yeah, man. Like, okay, that's the other one. And unfortunately, that's yet another rock star effort.
Yeah.
So.
It's too big. And when I try to run, I played the game for a little while. I was running with the horse through a town, knocked the guy down by accident, and now I'm wanted. And I was like, okay, I can't get anything done in this game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't have the patience to get into it. I was just like, what am I missing? Like, everyone loves this game.
Yeah, we have more than a couple of dudes in AEW's locker room that really like that game, so I make sure to keep that a secret. It's I don't even talk about it, but I'm just happy that they like anything, because you know, it's some of our dudes, they don't play games aside from like, you know, a few titles. So if they like it, I'm super happy that they found a video game that they can get into.
I couldn't either. So okay, so who's the most passionate gamer in the locker room, you think?
Oh, it's me, of course.
Outside of you.
outside of me. Probably Hikaru Shida.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So she's
That's awesome. But
yeah,
she play?
She's always been a gamer. She's actually kind of getting into streaming and stuff right now. I've had many a conversation with her about just all the classic stuff that she still plays and would love to play. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really cool to know. All right, so what is the first game you remember buying with your own money?
The one that I remember, or it sticks out most for me, was I bought on vacation. I took my vacation money. It was the first vacation I ever took with my family. And I used all of it, not on souvenirs or anything, but I bought Street Fighter 2 for Super Nintendo and King of the Monsters for Super Nintendo.
Nice.
of all things, yeah. Because I was a
wow.
huge like Godzilla fan, and just the premise of monsters fight. And I was also a huge Rampage fan as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Was Street Fighter 2, so this was this in Canada when you bought it?
No. So it was, I lived in Canada, but we had taken our vacation in Florida. So I bought it at, I guess it would have been, I don't know, did Walmarts exist back then? But whatever the equivalent of Walmart was, maybe it was Target. But
it would have been a Target.
Yeah. A Target
okay.
or something, a big department store
a department
kind of thing.
Store.
Yeah.
Kmart,
yeah.
Maybe. Kmart was a thing back then.
Oh, okay. Then that was probably that then. Yeah, because we even had Kmarts in Canada. I just didn't. I thought that was maybe a Woolco was our thing. Okay, it was probably Kmart. Yep.
Okay. Street Fighter 2, I remember that game being like $75, $80 or something
yep,
when
it
came out.
Yes.
And man, and one kid on my block could afford it, and he got it, and we would pile into his house to play it all night long. It was so great.
Yeah, I remember that was the thing when Mortal Kombat first came out for Super Nintendo, was like it was rented out everywhere, and you'd have to have some kind of hookup to get a copy. So
mm-hmm.
it's like even if you weren't really like tight with the guy that had the copy, it was just kind of unspoken, like, okay, if you're one of the chosen few, you had the open invitation for everyone to kind of collect at your house for that night. Like
absolutely.
you're friends with everyone on that night. And I remember just, you know, we had like the cabinet at my comic store that was near the house, and I remember just kind of being in awe of the sort of the digitized graphic look and the blood and the gore. Mm-hmm. And then kind of going and being blown away at first, and then when you start seeing the first uppercut or the first punch, you're like, why is the blood gray? You know, just, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, is there something going on here? Like, we go on the options menu, and I remember
mm-hmm.
later on, too, finding out that there was a code for the Genesis version where you could get all the fatalities and the blood and all that, and I was like, oh, man, maybe we lost this
yeah.
battle. Yeah.
Yeah, the Genesis, I remember that being the system for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
and
that was the mature system.
And sports games were a little better there. And
mm-hmm.
I remember that. That was the sports system. You get a Super Nintendo for the RPGs.
Yeah. You really had a fanboy, though. It was like you couldn't pick both where I was from. It's like you had
no.
to pick one and rep it, and the other one was the enemy.
It was like
it's
Game
not
Wars,
like how wrestling
man.
Is these days. Yeah.
It's like a little similar to wrestling. Yeah, it's one
yeah.
or the other. You can't be
it's
like,
one,
you know
it's
what?
One or the other. And even
like
if you like, I was gonna say, even if you secretly liked both, you had to pretend you hated the other one, and it sucked. Yeah. It wasn't even just slightly less good. It was just absolutely sucked. It was the worst.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever pretended to be sick to get out of something to play a video game?
All the time. All the time. Even to this day. To this day. To this day.
To this day.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I feel like
you and me and whoever listens to this.
Okay. All right. I'm sure
Tony Khan won't be listening, so I'm probably in the clear still.
This should be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what's the last game you completed?
Completed. It was. It was just the other day. Actually, it was Neo 2.
Nice. How was that?
Really good. I was a super huge fan of Neo 1. I am super late to the party when it comes to, like, the From Software style games, you know, where it's a super difficult and you die really easily and it's like a slow, steady grind. So I actually started on Neo 1 for that style, and it was kind of like Neo, Sekiro, and then Neo 2. That being said, I think I do enjoy that style, and I'm excited for the PS5 Demon Souls remake. So
yeah, I started with Sekiro and was really, really bad at it, but I enjoyed it though. But yeah, man, it almost made me break a controller or two. It was rough, so brutal.
The final battle, like, I kind of promised myself where I was like, I can't stomach this anymore. I'm going insane, so I'm ending this tonight. And I thought that when it was 3:30-ish, or we'll say three. I was like, okay, it's the last boss. I'm just gonna end it now, and I don't want to have to come back to this. I want to learn his patterns and learn his attack, whatever thing. I realize now, no matter where I look, there really is no cheese strategy. You have to just actually learn it and beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And I promised myself I wouldn't put down the controller until that happened. And it was close to 8 a.m. when it happened. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But it was worth it, because it was probably, like, the biggest pop-off that I've had in a video game, like, for a long time.
Oh, I bet. That's the most rewarding feeling in the world, I bet.
And it just makes it worth it, yeah.
Oh, man. I was determined to do that with Mega Man 02. And then I just gave up. I was like, you know what? I'm on the
hard
last
games,
boss.
Man. So hard.
I beat 99% of this game. I think I'm good. I don't need to see this ending. I'm fine. I'm walking away. So I walked away and started playing the next one. So what is the last game you've platinumed?
The last game I platinumed. You know, it's. I know that it would have been an indie game, because those ones are kind of easier to pick up a platinum in, and I always sprinkle in some indie stuff. So, man, I'm going to say, I would have to check to be 100% sure, but off the top of my head, I feel like I downloaded and played, it was either Overcooked 2 or it was Peggle 2.
Okay.
As my last platinum.
Those are both great. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Super fun.
Last thing I platinumed, I think it was, what was that game? Inside. Did you play that game? That was a while ago.
Inside.
It's like side scroller from the guys who made Limbo. It's really
dark, black and white. Yes, I do know it. Yep.
Really fun, weird game.
Easy platinum was pretty rough.
It was pretty easy once you figured it out. I had to go through some walkthroughs for a couple of stages.
Right.
Last major game I platinumed was Spider-Man, and that was just such a great experience. Really fun game. That's the last time I wanted to platinum a game. I was like,
incredible.
I just want to keep playing.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because, like, Spider-Man, and then the last one where I was like, I really want to do this and I don't mind doing it, was is it Arkham Knight? The last Arkham game that released, which is pretty much the exact same style of game. But
very much the same game.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm going to go back to FF7 Remake eventually.
I'm super close to platinuming that, too. Very close. Nice. I think I have one or two more trophies left, and I know they're difficult to get, but it's doable. I just have to put in a little more time.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So we are winding down, what's a game that you're really, really bad at? Like you just suck at it, so you don't play it.
A game that I'm really bad at. I mean, I guess I would have to say Tekken.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the only time where I felt frustrated. Like, I mean, I did sort of feel like I got thrown to the wolves, but any game where I feel like Xavier Woods, mm-hmm. Austin mm-hmm. Creed mm-hmm. can actually easily beat me in something, I feel like there's a problem. If a game like that exists, it's just not right. Something wrong in the world if he can easily beat me in something. But I have to admit defeat. You know, he was the better man in Tekken, and I may not be able to get myself to that level. And which is weird because like fighting games should kind of be my thing, and it's usually easy for me to learn, like the Street Fighter games, the anime games, Smash Brothers, Mortal Kombat. But Tekken just takes something different, and I just can't. I don't know. I just couldn't put it together for that game at more than like a scrub level.
Okay. That's how I feel about Smash. I can't quite get much beyond being pretty basic at it. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is the game that you spent the most amount of money on? Like a game you've bought more than once in your life?
Just in terms of sheer amount of versions I have of the game, probably Resident Evil 4.
Nice.
Like that released for everything, and I think I have every single version.
Oh wow!
Final Fantasy VII, I guess, is kind of up there because it's like
I
have the old,
one, yeah,
because yeah, I have the old, you know, I have the PlayStation 1 version, I have the actual PC version that released like a long time ago. I still have like you know the box and everything.
Wow,
and
with the huge box! I think
that's the one.
That.
Yes.
I worked at Electronics Boutique when that came out, and the huge box. Yeah, I remember that.
Just incredible, man. And then, yeah, then I had the other PC release, the Switch release. They released on Switch, right? Or is it just, or am I thinking about the PlayStation 4, the digital release?
It's on 4. It probably is on Switch.
It's one of the two. One of the two. Yeah, I think it is.
8 and 9 are, so it probably is.
Right. And then, of course, yeah, you know, the remake, which probably counts as the same thing. So, yeah, that's another one where I have a lot of versions of that game owned.
Okay, so last questions are the silly questions. What is your go-to meal at your favorite restaurant?
It's just, I'm just a salmon guy. I have salmon everywhere I go. Just whatever the grilled salmon is, just like whether it's kind of plain or it's like lemon or there's sauce involved, it's kind of like the most tasty, kind of falls within the boundaries of my diet kind of dish. Mm. And I can't not get it every time. It doesn't matter even if like if you go to a steak restaurant, which is regarded as one of the greatest steaks of all time, I'll probably still, for some reason, I'm getting the salmon. I don't know how it is.
I like salmon. Any particular place where you had like a really good salmon and you're like, wow, this is really, really tasty.
Man, I have so much of it. I can't even.
Yeah. So
and this is going to sound like a cheesy answer, but I always felt like my dad made the best salmon I've ever had. He worked hard to perfect the recipe. So I always, if I ever have company over at the family's house,
mm-hmm.
he makes a killer salmon. But yeah, I like, whether it be like a glaze deal or like one of some dill sauce, it's just like, I like so many versions. That's probably wise because there's not one version of it that I have to have. I'm just pretty happy camper. I'm pretty basic, so.
Okay. You can do a lot of things with salmon too, so.
Yeah, you can.
I was in Alaska and I had salmon chowder and it was just really tasty. I remember.
Yeah, you can do that stuff with it too.
That the salmon in Alaska was probably the best I'd ever had.
Actually, I had a crab stuffed salmon from Walmart of all places, and I was like, man, this is freaking good. So, yeah, it became like one of my go tos when I shop there. I always get the crab stuffed salmon.
Wow. All right, what are you kind of nerding out on right now that's not wrestling or video game related? Is there like a TV show you're into, a thing that's just weird?
I always try to have some sort of live action drama going, and that's pretty basic. Right now, I was watching You on Netflix.
Oh,
so, yeah, I finally got around to the second season of that, so I was watching that. And, man, on Netflix or on Crunchyroll, like Haikyuu, it's a volleyball anime.
Nice.
And, but I would say, like, nerding out, like, where I'm just super excited to watch the next episode, and it's, like, all I look forward to was probably either Demon Souls, the anime, or Dr. Stone was another one I really liked watching.
Dr. Stone is so good.
It's really good, right?
Yeah, it's so good. A friend just put me onto that. So good. Me and my wife have been into episodes of 2020, particularly about murder.
That's
really
awesome.
Weird. It's so weird. We're just watching these, like, episodes about
back
people.
Like, episodes of Hard Copy or something, you know?
Yes. Yeah, like, I'm like, no, I don't remember this, you know, they say, like, oh, this murder was all in the headlines in 1996. And we're like, oh, I don't remember hearing about it. You know, so it's
now that
crazy.
You mentioned, if they ever released, and I know that it is somewhere, like, there's got to be some sort of streaming service that's playing and offering these things, but I would go back and watch all of the old Unsolved Mysteries and stuff like that if they re-released it. Because I remember those were good, and they were chilling and scary because they were unsolved, and it was true. So,
yeah, those were really good.
Yeah.
Huh, they got to be on a streaming site somewhere.
Got to be, man. They got to be.
Thank you so much for all the...
Well, thank you, man. My pleasure.
...questions and answers. Let the folks know where to find you on the internet.
I'm mostly active on Twitter, and that's just at Kenny Omega Man X. And aside from that, I guess every Wednesday in some way, shape, or form on Dynamite, on TNT. And also, I guess, I might as well say BTE. I'm on every episode of BTE that drops every Monday on YouTube for free. So
nice.
If you guys want to see some interesting styles of comedy and weirdness featuring some of your favorite or least favorite wrestlers, you have that available to you.
It's highly entertaining, I'll say that.
Thanks, man.
I really enjoy it. It's a nice companion piece to the show. I do appreciate that.
All right, and that is my chat with Kenny Omega. Big shout out to him. Shout out to everybody at AEW and NXT. Got good wrestling to watch all over, and it's okay to like both. See you next week. Peace. Don't blame it. It was killer be killed. Mess around and blood and get spilled to fill. I'm crazy. We filling my pills. Ain't no use in anybody telling me chill or calm down, cause it's on now. Catch you when you guard down, take your squad down. Whether it's a big city or a small town, lay your bet down, you can catch a round, be the next down, let down. I've been bringing it home, it's been a minute. Anything you're dreaming of doing, I better did it. Banana from the beginning, I'm cooking this like a skillet. I never know what the limit. I kill it until it finished. Now I come in the party to catch a couple of bodies. Got you feeling all warm like a cup of Bacardi. I had enough of the problems, and I'm in need of a definite. You ask for it long enough, you end up getting it. I rush down, leave your whole team shut down. Gun down like a cowboy, your sundown. I'm in here, boy, what now? Make a tough ground, put the arms up like a touchdown. From the underground, the top of the heap, I gotta crumble and just run away, I'm rocking the beast. My head is stopping, get it popping, into squashing the beef. Pretend a competition, knocking to eat. Now let's get it. Put him up, let me see your head. Original meaning of bury the hatchet. I'm furious, ratchet. I love this is hustle and asset. Folks leak other secrets. We greatly that stuff is redacted. You tough and you challenge. You wanna test my grind? Victory's the difference between me and opening line. I used to hit a vessel when we dress up to the nines. Like a tip, real gossip. We treat me like I'm the vibe. Folks smile like your face and then attack you with spitting lies. Like the OJ that's struggling right in the line. I'd rather scrap claw, throw you around if you wanna go pound for pound till I climb my foot. My place among the all stars. My vision got direction like 90s talking about using all stars. Step to me about it and it's all guard. Work you in when they ask me about it. I'm like kidding with a law claw. Shotty, see, don't know a thing. Nah, I mean, listen, I'm just trying to be the king on the scene. To the glisten that you know this from my ring, you perceive one of the little scholar number 23, sort of bling. Yeah, yeah. This is for fighters who struggling. Yeah. Take L's in the F as they double them. Yeah. So the L transforms to a W. Yeah, yeah. Put them up, let me see your head.
light, so I can see you pick the wrong battle to fight. You're dreaming if you think you're reaching staggering heights, just try staying alive like it's Saturday night. All the world's a stage and you're looking to fright. Response should have been the other option of flight. For you it's a goal, for me it's all out of spite. Think you're hungry? I am starving and I'm taking a bite. I've been training since before my name was even never said. And with my brain and your pain will be proven brutal, never ran and steady gain of momentum, erasing names off the list. Ever since I was born, standing hands already in fists. You probably heard I'm unstoppable. Your only pop is from the snack machine in the hospital. Build your resume, I'm building an arsenal. And going on the hunt like your mission's impossible. My ability's limitless. Chip stack, hit me cause I'm going all in on this bitter. Fight back like with no one before. Forget your white flag or we're going to war. Now it's go time, show time, no time left. Good luck, break a leg, a couple ribs in your neck. And when you fall before the best in the land, drag your body back, come bury your head in the sand. Understand?